How does your inner garden grow, the one in your digestive system? In this second hour of Midday, Dr. Gerard Mullen of Johns Hopkins, a specialist in digestive health, lays out a plan to weed, seed, and feed your innards in order to lose weight, gain energy, and boost overall health. Mullen believes certain foods can replenish so-called friendly bacteria to help people lose weight, combining studies of intestinal microbes with 20 years of clinical experience. Mullen argues that the key to solving the nation's obesity problem sits in the gut, waiting to be fertilized with not less food, but the right kind of food. Gerard Mullen and what he calls the gut balance revolution on Midday after the news. Welcome back to Midday, our second hour. Dan Roderick's here. Thanks again for joining us. Our next guest, Dr. Gerard Mullen, is an associate professor of medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and his area of specialty is digestive health and nutrition. He's been looking for a long time now at the inner ecology of humans, that garden in the gut, so to speak, where some good bacteria resides. He believes a diet rich in foods that establish and enhance those microbes could hold the key to sustainable weight loss and the nation's obesity problem. Back on the show with us again here for the third time, Dr. Gerard Mullen is Director of Integrative Gastroenterology Nutrition Services at Johns Hopkins Hospital. And he's back now because of his most recent book, his brand new book, The Gut Balance Revolution. The Gut Balance Revolution. Boost your metabolism, restore your, there it is, inner ecology, and lose the weight for good. Dr. Mullen, nice to have you back on the show with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You've been at this for quite a while, and I'm trying to remember now, because I first met you maybe 3 or 4 years ago, how you got into this particular area of research. It was your own body that took you there, right?
Definitely. About 20, 30 years ago, when I was a teenager in high school, I was quite big, more than I care to admit, but I was quite heavy. And I found myself just floundering in terms of academia. And even when I went to go see my doctor and I said, you know, I'm thinking about going into medicine, he really laughed at me about it, not looking like this. So it kind of motivated me. I saw, of course, the movie Rocky. You and I have talked about that. And that kind of was a motivating, turning point. And I found myself going to the supermarket, looking at this little book talking about yogurt and fiber. And all of a sudden, I started to lose weight. And 30-something years ago, it was all about changing my microbiome, the gut ecology that you just talked about. And I start to drop the weight like a bad habit.
And you kept it off?
Yeah, look at me.
Did you have a spike? Did you ever put on some weight? Or have you been mostly trim most of your adult life?
Go do some traveling and not have much control over you. You're going to go up maybe, 5 or 10 pounds,
right.
But you just cycle back when you're home. But I'm very, very disciplined about what I eat, and I really haven't strayed dramatically over the years.
The word gut, G-U-T, we use that these days. You know, what does your gut tell you? My gut instinct tells me. My gut tells me this and tells me that. We don't actually listen to our gut, according to you.
We should.
Yeah.
We should. It's the second brain.
Is gut a clinical term?
It is. I mean, we've become, because of the research in the last 5 years, has exploded in the relationship between the gut microbiome and different axes in the body, the gut-brain axis, the gut-liver axis, we really understand that these little tiny microbes have a controlling influence over our physiology.
Well, connect those little microbes for us, will you, to digestive health. And I want to talk about the obesity epidemic, because all the reports I see about obesity just make it sound like it's getting worse and worse all the time, even among children.
Yes.
So connect those two for us, would you? What's going wrong? People say, people say different things. I eat a lot of the wrong food, therefore I'm obese or I'm not active enough. Or I try to lose weight, I starve myself and I still put on weight. You hear all kinds of different things. And people follow different diet fads and all. But I think, what I like about this conversation today is connecting the microbiome, as you call it, what's down there in our gut, to what happens to food as we process it.
Well, great. Let me just touch on a few points. First of all, the starvation type of dieting that leads to yo-yo dieting, that ultimately fails in 90 to 95% of the people who pursue the energy caloric restrictive pathway. The reason why they fail by and large is because the aim there is to restrict calories, but the body senses the fact that it's starving, right? It's called the set point theory. And the body
Set point theory?
Set point theory. And the body actually counteracts your ability to lose weight. You slow your metabolism down, and you actually have a higher appetite. So your body is kind of restrained and fighting this, you know, this diet that you're on. So ultimately, you fail. And so you hit a wall. People will tell you that they'll hit a wall after a certain amount of weight. And unfortunately, they gain more weight back, and it's even harder the next time to lose the weight. That's the classic yo-yo dieting.
Mm-hmm.
The secondly is, like, you know, well, we all blame it on the calories, and we've taken in too many calories in the last 20 or 30 years. But that's not maybe so true, because the data is conflicting. And the last set of data, called the NHANES study, which looks over several decades, looked at our caloric intake since 1988 has not really changed. Maybe it's not the total energy in the calories. The shift is what we're taking in. We're taking in more highly refined processed foods that are harming our microbiome. So even though we're not taking in more calories, the calories we're taking in are more highly glycemic, and they're really making us more sick.
How do they harm the microbiome that we need down there to be healthy?
Well, they're fiber-poor foods. Our fiber intake has dramatically declined in the last two decades, right? It was 50% greater two decades ago. So we're taking in less fiber. And also what's happening is these high refined carbohydrates are really high in sugars, and they spike our blood sugar. And they also do limit the growth of the good beneficial microflora that helps us with our metabolism. So it's not so much about the calories. It's the quality of the calories, not the quantity of the calories, that are setting off this obesity epidemic.
So your idea is to get food in there that's friendly to these microbiomes, that actually will fertilize that garden in the gut, right?
Yes.
We're using these metaphors today, but it's helpful.
But they're true.
And what would that be? Since we're setting the table here in the early in the hour, I think a lot of people are probably curious, what is Dr. Mullen talking about? What kind of foods? I know you mentioned yogurt already. What is
right?
So what's so cool about the yogurt in terms of what you're proposing?
Well, these fermented foods that we're about to discuss actually contain the live beneficial cultures in them, which starts to really seed your flora with that fat-burning metabolic microbes,
so
right?
The flora you're talking about are the microbes.
The good
right?
one, yeah, the good stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically the yogurts, which when they have live cultures, and not all the things when you go to the stores, I mean, there's variability in terms of the strength of the live cultures. You're always better off making your own. You can have 90 billion live cultures per serving when you make it yourself. But when you go to the supermarket and 90 billion.
90 billion
in a
dish?
A serving.
A cup of yogurt that you make at home.
Yeah, I mean, I get one particular brand that I go to, Fresh Market, if I can, you know, name the store. But basically, I have White Mountain Yogurt. And that's the one in the area that's got the 90 billion CFUs, or colony forming units, per serving. But if you go
wow.
to
is that your, a shock to the system if you're not used to that?
Well, it could be. It could be. If your gut's out of balance and you start shocking your system, yeah, I mean, that's not the best way to do. But for me, it's cool for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to your grocery store and you buy brand X and it's got like high fructose corn syrup and it's got more sugar than live cultures, what are you doing? It's counterproductive.
It's self-defeating. Okay. So, but you can get yogurt without all that stuff at the grocery store.
Oh, you can.
Yeah.
You can. You can also get kefir. Now, I love kefir. And the reason why I love it, I mean, it's got a little bit of a sour taste for me, which I like. I'm a little unusual that way, but some of them are very sugary, so you got to watch it. The other thing is that you know what's in it, right? You know that it's got billions and billions of live bacteria in there. Unlike the yogurts, which are heat killed, and they put some bacteria back, the kefirs are just made live. So you know that you're getting billions and billions of CFUs per serving.
Is there anything else like that? Any other food product? You mentioned kimchi.
Yeah, I know you were talking about that before we went on
air.
Well,
I'm a big fan of kimchi.
Yeah.
I put kimchi on almost anything. I can't eat enough kimchi.
There you go.
I should start. But what's the quality? Kimchi has that same quality, right?
It's got live bacteria.
Yeah, right.
Now, you know, where were the days when we're eating pickles? Right? I was at Bayview Hospital. I was on service a couple of weeks ago, and one of the fellows, the GI fellows, took me outside. He goes, "There's a farmer's market." And they had a pickle stand. I said, "I got to go." So we tasted the pickles together and this and that. It was just like not the high fructose corn syrup junk you'll find in the middle of the grocery store. This mm-hmm. is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And
good dill pickles.
Good dill pickles.
And what
fresh.
About they're already
live. They're live bacteria.
Okay.
Sauerkraut.
Yeah,
live
sauerkraut.
Bacteria.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. I know Dr. Mullen has recipes in his book too, right?
Oh, many. 50 and change.
The gut balance revolution. How about cabbage?
Cabbage, you can ferment
that's kimchi.
Cabbage. Yeah,
that's kimchi.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
I came across a very simple recipe for a cabbage salad last week, and it was just shredded cabbage, which is, you know, it's still a pretty good buy in the grocery store. You get a lot for your money. Shred the cabbage, olive oil, garlic, some salt and pepper, and lemon juice.
Beautiful.
And the lemon juice, you let it sort of ferment in that lemon juice for, I don't know, a couple hours, and then the cabbage is wilting and softening, and that was a very nice, simple salad. How do you like that?
Oh, beautiful.
You like that
your
one?
Your gut microbiome, we're happy.
You're going to share some other recipes with us in this
sure.
hour of the show?
Sure.
All right. Dr. Gerard Mullen, our guest on Midday, his book is The Gut Balance Revolution. Dr. Mullen is a professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins University. One more question before we go to our first break today.
Okay.
About what's going on down there with the food that we eat, that highly processed food that harms those that system that we need to be in balance. Antibiotics.
Oh.
Eating, you know, the food we eat, I guess antibiotics are in a lot of, it's in milk, I guess, it's in meat products. What's going on there in terms of our intake of food that has been treated with antibiotics, protein especially?
Well, we know that antibiotics are a hot topic in the news because of the superbugs, resistant strains, Clostridium difficile at epidemic proportions, and also antibiotic shortages. So it really is executive action to try to restrain its use, particularly in livestock. So since the 1940s to 1950s, the livestock industry noticed that when they started giving antibiotics to prevent disease to livestock, they noticed that they would grow real big. So that's when it started to happen. But why are they growing big? Because you're disrupting the balance of the microbiome and fostering the development of these fat-forming bugs that help retain calories from your food. They're very efficient fermenters, some of these microbes, and the antibiotics, which really reduce the diversity of your gut microbiome, allow these type of bugs to proliferate and hold on to weight and screw up your metabolism. So that's all and good, but the unfortunate part is that antibiotics are in actually the meat. They are actually detectable in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
So when Marty Blaser, who's a professor of medicine, was dean at NYU and wrote the book, which is an excellent book, Missing Microbes, he did experiments that he found that the detectable levels of antibiotics in meat, when they were given to lean laboratory animals, what do you think happened, Dan?
They got fat.
They got big.
They got obese.
They got big.
I bet they did.
And there you go.
So he injected them or he fed them?
The amount of the antibiotics were fed into those animals. Mm. So bottom line is that antibiotics are one of the pathways that I believe that we become bigger.
Obese?
Yes.
You think it's contributed to obesity in this
yes.
country? And that's not the only research that you cite for that conclusion?
Oh, yeah. No, there's abundant research. In fact, you know, I don't know if time permits, but there is a solid study from the American Academy of Pediatrics, which strongly correlate antibiotic use in childhood to obesity later on in life. Very strong correlation.
Now, is there a way to counter that effect with our diets?
Well,
like to eat meat, you're saying don't eat meat. You're saying switch more to fish and poultry. That's in your book, right? That's your recommendation.
Right, right. The conversation is judicious use of antibiotics, right? So now there's different Tyson's and McDonald's and there's, you know, Costco. Now it's really caught on. Let's not really use it in our livestock or sell the ones that have antibiotics in them. So there is an effort based on really executive action, and some people are doing it voluntarily to cut back on antibiotic use in our meats, which hopefully have a good downstream effect on us. But also in these pediatric studies, it's very clear that antibiotics are well overprescribed.
In Denmark, the pork farmers have given up antibiotics completely. I think it's been 5 to 10 years now. But there's nothing we can do with our diet to counter that effect.
Well, we have choices, right? When I go shopping, I look for free-range, antibiotic-free, organic.
So it's in your choices of the
food.
There's nothing you can do. Like, you can't counter it with lentils or kimchi.
Well, I know you just made lentils this weekend, right?
I did. Does lentils fit into your plan?
Good for your gut.
Because you like beans, too, right?
Yeah, they're good for your gut.
410-662-8780. That's the phone number for Midday, the special edition of Midday on Health with Dr. Gerard Mullen, author of The Gut Balance Revolution, Boost Your Metabolism, Restore Your Inner Ecology, and Lose the Weight for Good. Rodale Press is the publisher of Dr. Mullen's book. 410-662-8780, or send us a question by email, midday@wypr.org, and we're on Twitter at @MiddayWYPR. Our guest this hour, Dr. Gerard Mullen, Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine over at Johns Hopkins Hospital and Director of Integrative Gastroenterology Nutrition Services over there. By the way, aren't you also involved in a nurse practitioner program at Hopkins?
We've had that program for a number of years. Presently do not, but we've trained many fine nurse practitioners who are part of our staff.
Right. You have people that come to you and commit themselves as a patient for your regimen of nutrition? People, say somebody comes to you, I want to walk through this with you.
Okay.
Somebody comes to you, I don't know, in their 40s or 50s, 50 to 60 pounds overweight, have tried those various diets, some of which we've discussed on previous shows with you. And they say, well, listen, I want to talk to you about this. I really want to get some weight off for good. My knees are going bad. My knees can't hold up my body anymore. My doctor told me, I need to lose weight. I've got some hypertension maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
Well, let me walk you through it a little bit, and the audience. Is that the In-Gut Balance Revolution, I mean, the journey there is that I've had a number of people who've had digestive disorders, mainly like irritable bowel, bloating, and gas, and all those type of symptoms come see me. And, they're overweight. And when I started to just sit down and focus on getting their gut back in balance, right? Really, the objective at first was not about obsessing over weight control. It was about what are you eating, what are your symptoms at this point, and what can we do to bring you back into balance and harmony, right?
And that balance has to do with the microbes,
the microbiome,
right? Yeah.
Right? But for some people, balance means that they're stressed out. And that's going to be counteractive to any program you have with the gut, because the nervous system is delicately intertwined with the gut and its function. And also even can disrupt the microbial balance itself. Stress, there's research to show that. So I look at a more holistic approach. My colleague, Dr. Linda Lee, runs the integrative medicine program within our division. And her and I are very much aligned philosophically, is that we approach the person as a whole and bring them into balance, but they also have to work on their life a little bit and get that back into balance. I can only guide nutrition and diet and, maybe use some holistic, remedies and so on and so forth. So when I see someone walk in the office, the key here is to get the gut back into balance. And the food, I find, is generally a good item to go over, because that tends to be quite off, because it tends to be the standard American diet.
I am curious.
Like, it is.
When you
it
go
is.
Over the
inflammatory
diet.
Inflammatory fats.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Red meat is an inflammatory fat. Corn oil, vegetable oils are very pro-inflammatory. The white bread and the white rice and the pasta, they tend to be, also highly glycemic and disrupt the microbiome. So what I try to do is first try to restrict those type of foods. There's like a three-phase approach that I outline in the book. And when I see somebody, I say, look, let's cut out the junk. Let's restrict really the growth of these, let's say, these microbes that are fat-forming, one way to look at, or bolster the ecology of the gut. So we cut out the gluten. We cut out some dairy because some people don't tolerate dairy and are symptomatic, you know, especially when they have an overgrowth or a colonization of bacteria in the small bowel. We call it small bowel overgrowth, which is called SIBO. And a lot of people have it and are not doing well with it.
What do you mean overgrowth, Dr. Mullen?
Well, the upper part
And what would be a symptom of that?
Bloating, gas, some people have diarrhea, constipation. But the upper part of the GI tract is supposed to be sterile, relatively sterile. And in many people, particularly those who have like an irritable bowel-like picture that we were discussing, can have overgrowth of bacteria in the wrong place. And they can really rapidly ferment food and make you quite uncomfortable.
So your suggestion in that case is to reduce dairy?
Right, is to cut back on a group called, we call FODMAPs, or these highly fermentable foods, and the focus on really the things that really make people bloat and gassy. And, and that can include the gluten, the wheat, the dairy, fructose, you know, high fructose foods, so on and so forth, is to restrict. And while we get the biome back into balance, we try to then feed the biome with these diversifying foods that, you know, we were discussing, the kefir, the kimchi.
And yogurt.
Yogurt, and you like asparagus.
You got asparagus on your list there, broccoli, what else? Oh, on the cover of your book are strawberries. Pickle. Oh, there's got a pickle on the cover.
A pickle.
Of your
you got to have a pickle.
Yeah. And green leafy stuff.
All these things and fruits, these things will feed the biome and make it thrive, right? So if you take the approach of I'm just going to dump probiotic foods in you, it's kind of like going to a vacant lot, throwing some seeds and expecting a very thriving garden to grow. It's not going to happen. You have to go through a weeding. You got to go through a fertilizing. Cast the seeds, nourish it, and boom, you got your inner garden.
So that's interesting. The people who come to you have some sort of digestive ailment, you would say, not just come to you because they're overweight.
That's correct.
Or they usually are overweight.
A lot of the people I see are overweight, but they come for really digestive, exactly.
And you're talking about changes in lifestyle, too, the part that they have to take care of, you know, sleep, for instance. Now, I'm curious, do a lot of your patients, the people you see, have trouble with sleep?
A lot of people who are working people are cutting back on the sleep, the 6 to 6.5 hours instead of the 7 to 7.5 hours. And the studies are very clear that the less you sleep, the more the chances are you're going to be overweight.
What's it? Why is that? What's the connection?
Well, I think, again, we're not resting the body. The body is going to have more of an appetite to kind of, you know, drive. The appetite's going to go up, especially when the microbiome's out of balance. The stress is a factor. And so lack of sleep from a stressor point of view has been shown to really increase appetite and actually decrease metabolism.
In terms of changing the diet, first the weeding, you know, eliminates
certain things.
Right,
the weeding.
You know, like the pasta, for instance. I heard you say pasta a little
while ago.
I know,
you have it right out in the break room.
We have pasta today from Rosina Gourmet? Okay.
Yeah.
How's the rest of the lunch look?
I don't know. They got sandwiches.
It's not in keeping with what you're talking about today. Okay, but it's good.
It looks fresh.
Yeah. All right. So once you eliminate some stuff, now how do your patients or people you've seen adapt to having to cook this food? And do you find that the people who come to you are, you know, eating a lot of processed food? Even if not great chefs, not working very hard at cooking. Or preparing their own meals?
You know, that's a really great point, is that in the last decade, there is a shift where the majority of people are eating their meals away from home, right? They're not preparing their own foods.
Yeah.
If they're home, it's because they stopped over and got Chinese food and takeout on the way home or pizza. I think that's really the issue, is people are not cooking for themselves enough. Right. And the people who are motivated to really stick to the program and really get reintroduced to their kitchen, I mean, the fork is a very powerful tool. It really is. And I think once people get reintroduced to it, people do quite well on the program because, like you mentioned, there's ample recipes in here that I'm sure we're going to discuss at the end of the hour.
Dr. Gerard Mullen, will we do some recipes today?
I think that'd be great to discuss, definitely.
Questions are welcome here. If you've had issues with weight loss or you want some advice or want to talk to Dr. Mullen about his research, his book is The Gut Balance Revolution. By the way, when you use that term revolution, It's because others in your field, your area of scholarship and research, are coming over to this too. The need to replenish, reinvigorate the microbiome.
The role of the microbiome in health is a revolution. I mean, the cutting edge research in the last 5 years has been explosive.
And people have lost weight as a result of this.
Oh yes, yes.
It works.
I got really some nice cases in here. Yeah.
Here's a couple of emails. We'll talk about. I'll read these, and then Dr. Mullen can respond. Okay. Alice writes in from Frederick, Maryland. She says, "Kimchi and sauerkraut are very easy to make. Just chop up the kimchi, green onions, shredded carrot, radishes, or other root or leaf vegetables, and mix it with a couple of tablespoons of salt. Let it sit and wilt a bit, then toss with a bit of chili powder or pepper paste, crushed garlic or garlic powder." See, this all sounds good to me. Pack it into jars and put the lids on, but not too tight. Let them sit a couple of days, pushing the veggies down into the liquid once a day. Transfer to a refrigerator. And sauerkraut is the same, but instead of adding the fish sauce and such, just mix a mild salt water solution and pour it on over to cover the tight packaged cabbage. Do you ever make those yourself?
Wonderful.
Do you buy those yourself?
I'm going to start making that particular recipe maybe tomorrow.
You know, that cabbage salad I mentioned was really easy.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Wendy says, "Help, I've been diagnosed with an allergy to brewers and baker's yeast. I have been told to avoid fermented foods. I believe I have a highly imbalanced gut, and it is impacting my daily function. It is frustrating, given how committed I have been to eating well since 2009.
That's unfortunate. It sounds like she may have some sensitivities that the immune system, of course, the gut houses 70% of our immune system. And so someone like that could have microbial imbalances, or we call dysbiosis. And to bring someone back into balance, again, you'd go through this type of programmatic approach that we've been discussing.
This dysbiosis, the word you use, that's the imbalance you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
What scientific proof do you have that such bacteria, that it will make it to your lower gut, grow and help your health in your lower gut? This is a question from Scott. Have there been any published peer-reviewed scientific studies that prove your contentions?
This book is got over 1,000 references that discuss this whole area of research that, yes, it's more than just contentions, that this is an area of research that really has exploded into clinical practice.
Can you talk about one of the cases from the book?
Yeah, there is a lady, actually, if you go on my media page, she was featured on the Fox 45 segment earlier in the winter. The segment was about gluten, but it was about a lady who came to see me about her gut symptoms, and in the process, she lost 40 pounds. And if you watch the segment, all she talked about is, "I fit into my high school dress. I'm a size 2. She was just thrilled.
The transition she made in her diet, could you talk about that a little bit? Was she a person who ate out a lot, didn't cook very much, or wasn't cooking food that was in keeping with your gut balance?
A business person, executive, busy, a lot of takeout. But she really embraced the program. Found her symptoms were disappearing, her gut symptoms, the bloating, the gas, and all of a sudden she got the fountaining of youth energy. The first thing I find with people, even before they start losing the weight, is the energy comes back. They feel vibrant. They feel alive once again. They feel motivated.
Okay, so they haven't lost weight right away, but they're feeling more energy all of a sudden.
I find that. Huh. Yeah.
We'll take a break here, and we'll come back and take some calls for Dr. Jerry Mullen. I called you Jerry for the first time. Is that okay?
Well, I've known you about 4 years, Dan.
Okay, is that all right?
I think that's fine.
It's Gerard E. Mullen, MD, the Gut Balance Revolution here on the Midday Show. 410-662-8780. And more emails to read, our email address, midday@wypr.org. Welcome back to Midday, a special edition of Midday on Health with Dr. Gerard Mullen from Hopkins, author of The Gut Balance Revolution. Jim, back on the issue of yogurt, Jim says, "Are we to understand that fruit in store, I'm sorry, this should be hyphenated, store-bought yogurt, Fruit in store-bought yogurt contains too much sugar and should be avoided. You got to look at the label.
I agree, because they vary.
Yeah.
Some will list the fruit first, and those are the ones that would go for it. Others will say high fructose corn syrup first, and those are the ones that would put back down on the shelf.
Right. And how about this? How about you just buy some good old plain yogurt, or, you know, that doesn't have all that stuff in it.
Right.
Go over to the produce section. Get yourself some strawberries, some blueberries. Go to the farmer's market. Pick up some fresh strawberries. Or
he's giving away one of my recipes.
Where are you at? Is that one of your recipes? I mean, just make it yourself, man. Make it yourself. Where are you on rhubarb?
My rhubarb will make you go.
What'll make you go where?
It'll make you go to the toilet. It's a stimulant. It's a cathartic stimulant.
Rhubarb is?
It's good, though. It's good for you.
Oh, I love rhubarb.
There you go.
But in terms of the microbiome, is that a good
fiber? It's fibrous, yeah. It'll help the good gut bacteria grow.
Here's a
rhubarb pie you're talking about, or just rhubarb?
Bebaba, rhubarb, rhubarb sauce, rhubarb sauce. I like to make rhubarb and strawberry sauce.
Why, that sounds
like
terrific.
Like an applesauce, but you put a little sugar in it.
Next time you'll bring it in. Next show we do together.
I should have brought in my lentils today. You would have been very proud of me, Dr. Mullen.
I brought the coffee.
Thank you for the coffee. Where are you on coffee?
I think it's very good for you. It's in my list of superfoods we're going to talk about. It's a surprise superfood because it's...
That's a surprise to me. How is coffee a superfood?
How it is, it has cardioprotective, antioxidant, helps prevent dementia. It has anti-cancer properties and also is a, you know, metabolism. It boosts your metabolism and facilitates weight loss.
Mm-hmm. It can hurt sleep. It can hurt your efforts to sleep longer.
Or you take it late, yeah. You take it 11 o'clock at night, it'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So coffee's fine early in the day.
Coffee's fine. Just don't have it too much after 6 p.m.
Here's Nicole in Baltimore. We'll take some calls here for Dr. Mullen, 410-662-8780. Nicole, welcome to the Midday Show.
Hi, thank you. Actually, I had my gallbladder out a couple of years ago, and since then I've gained weight about 40, 50 pounds, and I'm a vegetarian, and though I've been eating a lot of fast food, french fries and such, but I've cut back on that recently because I've encountered a lot of discomfort in my system and almost like muscle spasm. I've just started, I did some, a little bit of research, not a lot, and found that just eating a lot of high-fiber foods will help. But you're saying that even yogurt, it's supposed to be good for you, because I understood that it wouldn't be helpful for me or in my scenario, so I'm not sure.
Well, I appreciate the call, and in listening to you very carefully, you may have some of the symptoms that we've been discussing called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And in that setting, particularly with a vegan diet, which tends to be high in fiber, is that since in small bowel overgrowth, what's happening is that the small bowel, which is relatively sterile, becomes colonized with a mix of bacteria in high quantities, and sometimes in anaerobes, especially, which are really, feisty fermenters. And so in a high vegan diet in the setting of small bowel overgrowth, the individual will suffer a lot of gas and bloating. In that situation, it may not be pertinent to the gallbladder being out or not, but the microbial imbalance classically with a vegan diet will have the symptoms that you're describing. Now, yes, I mean, the fast foods and those kind of foods will also facilitate a microbiome that's going to be more weight retaining in that setting. So rather than just kind of put in probiotic foods to really rebalance the biome, I think you got to take a step back and consider more of a restrictive elimination phase, which really limits these highly fermentable foods, and see your gas and bloating improve likely. And, I do walk through it in the book, but I kind of like in the first phase call it a reboot. Just like we have to reboot our dreaded computers when they act funny, I think we got to do that with our bodies sometimes.
So she's backing off a bit from those foods.
Right.
What does she replace them with?
Well, I think what we're going to really recommend, and sometimes it's hard with vegans to have a higher protein. We talked about in the last show, the higher protein diets.
Yeah.
But, you know, we try to cut back on the overloading the gut with carbs and fiber because of the symptoms, the fermentation symptoms.
Oh, I see.
And then so we try to get into more higher protein. Now, you know, there could be dairy restrictions depending on, you know, the type of vegan, but eggs are an excellent superfood that used to get, you know, as Rodney Dangerfield would say, no respect.
Right.
Right? Now they're back on a list of superfoods. Eggs are a great source of
protein.
But a
vegan might not do even eggs, right?
It varies. But I would see, you know, that's a great source of protein.
So you would replace some of that with protein?
Yeah, I would.
Because the key word is balance again, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Shelley writes in from Reisterstown. We hope that was a help to you, Nicole. I'm interested in Dr. Mullen's position on the paleo-type diets that require no dairy, no legumes, and no grains.
You know, it's you know, no matter what philosophical approach you have towards weight loss and health, I think balance, I mean, that's why when I negotiated with Rodale, I was very structured in on this title.
The gut balance revolution, yeah.
You got to have balance. Mm-hmm. And I think people will benefit from some whole grains, right? That because they're rich in fiber, which doesn't fit with the paleo philosophy, you know. And I think that paleo diets work for some people because it's rich in fruits and vegetables, which actually feed the biome. And the lean game red, you know, the meats they have are also helpful. But I think once we get too restrictive and out of balance for a sustained period of time, I think our body sometimes rejects that. And that's where maybe the paleo works for some people, but not everybody.
So if you eliminated carbs, for instance, completely from that, maybe your body will say, well, no, you're a little bit out of balance. How do you know?
Or your grains.
Grains,
I mean,
it's
a really much of an anti-grain.
It is grain. That's right.
Philosophy.
I don't just mean carbs.
And I can see gluten being a problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But quinoa, which is high in protein and high in fiber, and brown rice and amaranth and buckwheat, and I think they're around for a reason. I mean, from an evolutionary point of view, I think we're engineered to eat those.
Let's take a call from Brian next. He's in Anne Arundel County in Pasadena. Hi, Brian.
Hi, I really appreciate you taking me call because I'm very interested in this topic. I'd just like to offer some anecdotal evidence that is kind of positive reinforcement that everything Dr. Mullen has talked about today. Recently, I retired and I joined a gym and I got a hold of this really great personal trainer. She totally radically changed my diet, which consists now of a fruit smoothie in the morning, which is like four different kinds of fruit, wheat germ, flaxseed, and then a couple big handfuls of almonds.
Mm.
And then for dinner, I do a vegetable smoothie, which is basically a small salad bar with about six different types of vegetables, also with flaxseed. And then for lunch, I have a yogurt, a Greek yogurt, which has a high in protein plus a handful of walnuts.
Mm.
But it's low-fat yogurt. And while I still feel full after eating all these meals, I've lost like over 20 pounds mm-hmm. in the last year,
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. I also my energy level seems to be highly increased.
How old are you, Brian?
64.
64. You said he retired. Yeah. You know, it's working for him.
He doesn't need my book. He's following the program.
Yeah.
He's following the program.
I just wonder, listening to that, I mean, what about a hamburger? What about some spare ribs once in a while? I mean, Brian, do you ever, I mean, where are you on hamburgers? You never.
Mark Twain said, "Everything in moderation, including moderation."
Yeah, I like
so
that.
Occasionally, when I go out to dinner with friends or over to family, I have no qualms about eating a steak or a cheeseburger.
Right.
And also, one of my vices, I have to say, is a few beers every once in a while, which is carbohydrates. But because I've regulated my diet, I get plenty of exercise, and you know, I just have to say that your diet and your suggestions are really right on line, and I feel great.
Well, thank you for that call, Brian. Go ahead.
Well,
Dr.
thank
Mullen.
You. Yeah. Just a couple of comments. I love buffalo meat, and it's one of those the paleo people would love to hear that because it's really in line with their program. They tend to be grass-fed, and so that's excellent for you. You're not going to get that antibiotics that we talked about. It's very lean. And so when I went to Wrigley Field for the first time about 2 or 3 years ago, and I said, what am I going to eat? And I was in right field, and I looked. I said, I can't believe they have buffalo burgers. They have freshly made pickles. So I did a write-up on them and sent it to the Cubs, and they gave me a little smile back on Twitter. But I love the fact that you got to, as part of this program, the last phase is kind of renew. It's where you go into this Mediterranean anti-inflammatory diet, a very healthy diet. But every seventh day, you got to have a break. You got to socialize. You got to be flexible,
right, or
you're going to fail.
Right. Thank you very much, Dr. Mullen. This is an email from Dan Chapman. He says he's a personal trainer in West Baltimore. I've called in a couple of times, and I want to thank you for having this show, as diet is, without a doubt, the most crucial issue to health and fitness. The most common problem my friends, family, and clients run into is working healthy eating into a busy life. Many people I run into manage to eat well 50% of the time, but oftentimes find themselves cooking up macaroni or heating up a frozen prepackaged dish after work when they are tired, hungry, and don't have healthy food ready to eat. So what do you do about that?
I think there's two ways to approach that. And I'm one of those busy people, too, and a lot of people I work with. I think, A, you got to think about having 20-minute meals that you can make at home that are healthy and enjoyable. Right? And we'll talk about one of the recipes in here that kind of fits into that category.
Why don't you, right now, then?
So let's talk about
an example of
Dr. Jerry's salmon salad.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. The story there was that, so I've been, and you and I have had these conversations about Stone Mill Bakery. So I've been going there for years, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. And so I would kind of go in there asking them for what I want. And eventually they made like this key. Now they have it on their menu, Dr. Jerry's salmon salad. So what is it? It's mesclun greens, pickled cucumbers. Again, you got that pickled food to help your gut microbiome. And you have this grilled salmon, avocado, olive oil, and lemon.
That sounds good.
And if you want to do goat cheese, you can do goat cheese. I mean, you know, if you want to add some black beans, you can add black beans. These are all really, it's a super really lunch.
How did you prepare that salmon? Did you poach it, bake it, or
what? I grill it.
Grill it. Yeah.
Alfie, he does it. He can poach it, then grill it, a little half and half. But it's just delicious.
It is.
It's a superfood.
And if you buy enough of it, that's something you can cook on a
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
10 minutes
on a Sunday. Have a piece of it on Sunday. Have a salad on Monday. You know, or Tuesday even.
Yeah.
Very good. Is the thyroid impacted by our gut activity? A question from Jennifer.
You know, that's very interesting. There are some research studies to show that is. I mean, obviously, the thyroid regulates our metabolism. And one of the school of thoughts, besides gut hormones, and there's a lot of gut hormones that the microbes regulate inflammation, is that there appears there may be a connection between the gut microbiota and the thyroid. That's correct.
You know, getting back to the food there for a moment, what you were saying about that salad, simple salad, it sounds easy to prepare.
Yeah.
The beans that you mentioned in the book, you know, you can cook up some beans on the weekend. You have them for a couple of days during the week, spread it out during the week.
Is a
pretty decent leftover.
Yeah.
And there's things you can add to it as you go along. Yeah. I guess there's a lot with a little bit of planning that you can have that food available to you and not feel that temptation to go to the freezer and pull out something that's been processed. Oh, John Shields is joining us. This is the part of the show where I wanted to get John Shields on for a minute. You don't mind, Doug?
Yeah, bring him up. But the point is also find like a rescue. If you have a good place that has healthy food, I mentioned one particular, you know, place where I eat, but also there's others that if you find on your way home, like, you know, there's chains.
Oh, that you can count on for that. Yeah.
Yeah, like Chipotle.
Really? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, I was at work till like 9, 10 o'clock last night, and I really haven't eaten. I knew I'd be up till 3 working on things. I said, you know what, I'll just stop there and get. It was great. I mean,
what'd you get?
GMO.
I had a burrito.
So I had brown rice. Mm-hmm. No, I had brown rice, black beans. They had shredded beef, shredded chicken, avocado. And corn. That's
no burrito.
Not a bad meal.
So no burrito.
No.
So you didn't do the
corn chips.
Right. Okay.
Not a bad meal.
It's not bad at all.
Not a bad meal.
Hey, let me just take a minute with John Shields.
Okay.
Of Gertrude's Restaurant, a regular here on Midday Eats. John wanted to tell us about Doug, the pastry fugitive Wetzel, his pastry, his executive pastry chef at Gertrude's, who had a terrible thing happen to him on May 30th. I was sorry to hear this. Doug had just turned 32, Dr. Mullen. He was in a triathlon, a rock hall. And what happened, John?
Well, something went terribly wrong, and we think he had an accident on the bike, but then kept right on going. And during the run, he had heat stroke, went off course a bit. They found him in someone's backyard. His temperature was over 107. He had complete organ failure, and they medevaced him to shock trauma here in Baltimore, where he's been to just a few days ago. Now he's in the regular part of the hospital. But he had complete organ failure, and they had to give him a liver transplant, which, thank God, they got him right to the top of the list for that. And he's going to make it. They did not think he would make it, and Doug is going to make it.
You decided that Doug needs some help. You're having a fundraiser this week for him.
We are. So many people kind of came together. We're having Wednesday night. It's called Doug Strong, and it's probably one of the most organic events that ever happened, Dan. Food people, when they heard it from all over the city, called me and said, we have to do something. And we have like 14 restaurants or so from the whole Baltimore area. They had just said, we're coming over. And we're having food stations from everyone. Everybody's volunteered everything. Lone Brothers is putting all the tents up in the sculpture garden. We have music donated. All the beer, the wine, you know, Monument City Brewing, Union Craft, Evolution Beer.
And how much is much is the contribution, John?
We're asking $50.
And are you still taking reservations?
We are. There's still about, I think, about 50 tickets left.
Okay. And how do people do that if they want to help Doug out?
Well, probably the easiest way, they could just go to the website, gertrudesbaltimore.com.
Okay.
Real easy to do.
Okay.
Or if they're around, they could stop by Gertrude's and just pick it up at the host stand.
Thank you, John. We'll see you there Wednesday night, and then John will be on the show with Henry Hong for Midday Eats on Thursday, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. And if you see Doug, please give him our best, okay?
I'm going to do that.
So good for Doug Wetzel that he has a boss like John Shields to put that together. Doug, the pastry fugitive Wetzel, in his recovery from that liver transplant. So I just wanted to mention that if folks want to go to that, it sounds like a great night. Brian Voltaggio, among the chefs, will be cooking on that evening. So, and I don't know if they have everything in gut balance, but you know, like you said, Dr. Mullen, pastry will probably be there. It's probably one of those events you go to.
I may go. That sounds like
very
worthwhile cause.
It'd be a great event. Yeah, great people,
yeah.
Too. But things might be a little out of balance for you that night based on
so you go flexible. Flexibility.
You have flexibility.
You got to have flexibility.
You're not starving anybody either.
No.
Yeah.
No,
I think
I'm not.
That's why people will like
and
it.
And it's sustainable. That's why people are sticking to the program. You got to be realistic.
What are you going to have for dinner tonight? I'm curious. Do you know yet?
I know where I'm going for lunch, and you know I'm going to have because we just spoke about
it. Stone Mill. Okay. And you're going to have that salad?
Yeah.
So, and how often will you have that salmon salad?
I'll have it a few times a week. Sometimes I'll have chicken soup, like a really hearty chicken soup that they have. Sometimes I'll make like eggs and asparagus at home. Like that's a 5-minute meal.
Yeah, the eggs. If you're an egg eater, that fits into it. Makes a lot of meals, doesn't it?
Yes,
I made it with scallions the other day.
The Italian scallion.
Italian scallion. Thank you very much for being here, Dr. Mullen. It's nice to have you on the show again.
Good to see you, Dan.
Yeah,
thanks.
Good luck with this. The book was just published
June 9th.
Three weeks ago, yeah. The Gut Balance Revolution by our guest in this hour of midday, Gerard E. Mullen, MD, Associate Professor of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, published by Rodale, The Gut Balance Revolution. Well, thank you very much for all this advice and information and answering our questions. Thank you, Dr. Mullen.
My pleasure, Dan.
Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll see you again tomorrow for another midday.
Midday's producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producers are Michael Himowitz, Melody Simmons, and Connor Graham. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming is available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.